How an incredible, never-before-revealed true-life event sparked the greatest rock and roll rumor of all time. The setup. In the February 1967, number 43, issue of the Beatles Monthly, the Beatles' official fan club magazine, the following blurb appeared in the Beatle News section entitled, False Rumor. Quote, "Stories about the Beatles are always flying around Fleet Street. The 7th of January was very icy, with dangerous conditions on the M1 motorway linking London with the Midlands. And towards the end of the day, a rumor swept London that Paul McCartney had been killed in a car crash on the M1. But of course, there was absolutely no truth in it at all, as the Beatles press officer found out when he telephoned Paul's St. John's Wood home and was answered by Paul himself, who had been at home all day with his black Mini Cooper safely locked up in the garage," unquote. The story goes, on October 12, 1969, Detroit disc jockey Russ Gibb of WKNR-FM received a bizarre late-night phone call from a listener. This deep throat told him that if he played several tracks off the Beatles' White Album backwards, he'd hear some rather interesting things. Curious, Gibb decided to hell with his stylus and turntable and spent the next several hours shredding his copy of the White Album. What Gibb heard was amazing. He discovered that, when played backwards, a formerly indecipherable mumbling from John Lennon at the end of I'm So Tired could now clearly be made out as the literary Beatle moaning, "Paul is dead, man. Miss him, miss him, miss him." Also, the oft-intoned words, "Number nine, number nine," from Lennon's music concrete opus, Revolution No. 9, miraculously transformed into the eerie phrase, "Turn me on, dead man," when spun counterclockwise. Clearly, Gibb thought, something was up. So certain was he that he was onto something big, Gibb started digging deeper. He soon discovered various other clues relating to the supposed demise of the cute Beatles sprinkled on various other Beatles songs and album covers, going as far back as their Yesterday and Today LP, released a full 3 years earlier. Soon after Gibb began enlightening his Motor City listeners to the great cover-up, disc jockeys from competing stations in New York City and beyond picked up the shaggy dog tail, and it wasn't too very long before the news that Paul McCartney was dead began to spread around the world. Within weeks, the sale of new and old Beatle albums soared, as both the distraught fan and the merely curious bought clean copies just to play them backwards. The rumors helped the sales of just-released Abbey Road, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, Magical Mystery Tour, and The Beatles. Both Sgt. Pepper's and Magical Mystery Tour, which were released in 1967, re-entered Billboard's Top 200 charts in November of 1969. Both LPs stayed in the Top 200 until spring of 1970. Faced with this preponderance of evidence, and coupled with the Beatles' own real lack of comment, the public decided that the story must be true. "Okay then," the public said, "we've come not to bury Paul." Besides, Lennon had already admitted to doing just that at the end of Strawberry Fields Forever. But to ask, if Paul is dead, then how did it happen? Although there were often as many tales as there were tellers in this story, by 1970, a fairly conclusive and mutually agreed-upon scenario began to develop regarding exactly how Paul had come to meet his maker. As the story goes, on an evening in November 1966, probably the 8th, a stupid bloody Tuesday, there was an argument between Paul and the other Beatles at Abbey Road Studios. A livid Paul then stormed out of the building, hopped into his Aston Martin, and sped off into the night. In his anger, he failed to notice as the traffic light changed and he spun out of control, ending up smashing into a light pole at full speed, thus decapitating him. In other words, he blew his mind out in a car. He was officially pronounced dead on the scene in the early hours of Wednesday the 9th. Number 9. Number 9. Paul was then carried in secret to the morgue, note the OPD patch on McCartney's left sleeve inside the gatefold of Sgt. Pepper's, which is really OPP for Ontario Province Police. Saddened, but faced with the prospect of losing revenue due to the untimely death of the most popular member of their band, the story goes, the three surviving Beatles hired one William Campbell, a man who had supposedly once won a Paul look-alike contest to fill in for the dead Beatle.